May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, welcome to Advent and the beginning of a new church year. We lit the first Advent candle that represents hope. We read from the Gospel of Mark, which is the primary gospel that we will read this whole year. The church is decorated in purple, which is a somber color, reminding us that Advent is, in fact, a penitential season. If we can open ourselves to the task, Advent is an opportunity to reflect on ourselves and our world, to ask how well we are connecting with God's loving purposes. We read from the prophet Isaiah this morning, that community was also reflecting on themselves and their relationship to God's purposes, and they were lamenting. They had returned from exile, but it was not going well. One commentary describes it like this: the lament reflects Israel's disorientation in the wake of exile. The temple lies in ruins. Israel is like a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. And the people are wondering, where is God in the face of such calamity? End of quote. That text was written well over 2,000 years ago, but it resonates with where we are today. Disorientation, wilderness, desolation. And the people cry out to God, where are you? And they plead with God to do something. But the people of Israel are also honest. They're able to name themselves as part of the problem. In our discussion on these texts this past Tuesday, someone noted that the word iniquity is used 4 times. The people of Israel know that they are reaping the consequences of their own behavior. Now, I've always thought that the word iniquity is just an old-fashioned word for sin. But iniquity is a very specific kind of sin. Iniquity is defined as gross injustice. The word comes from the Latin root aequus, which means equal or just, with the prefix in, which means not. God's people are a community who do not treat everyone equally, who allow for some to experience grave injustice. And now it seems to them that God is angry or silent or both. But toward the end of this lament, there is a moment of humility and vulnerability. Isaiah says, you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. It's as if they're saying, okay, here we are, God. Shape us, mold us, change us into the kind of people that you want us to be. That same lament is echoed in Psalm 80. The psalmist pleads, how long will you be angry, O God? We have wept and suffered. And just as Isaiah did, the psalmist cries out to God in humility, saying, you are the shepherd, lead us, intervene, and restore us, O God. And then we come to the Gospel of Mark, this strange reading about the sun and the moon going dark and the stars falling from heaven. Rather than starting a new church year at the beginning of Mark, we jump nearly to the end and this passage in chapter 13. Just before this, Jesus had warned his disciples that a time is coming when the temple will be destroyed, when there will be wars and earthquakes, persecution and betrayal, and great suffering. And after this suffering, the Son of Man will come in power and great glory. This section of Mark is called the Little Apocalypse. The apocalypse refers to the end of time. But an apocalypse is any moment when God reveals something that until now was only known to God. God shares a divine revelation with humans by giving a vision to a prophet, often for the sake of people who have been suffering. The vision is a word of hope, a word of promise that God is about to act. And since no one knows when, it's imperative that people stay awake and alert. Advent is about waiting and watching for God to do something new. But it's not passive waiting. There's also an element of action. There's work to be done to address the gross injustice that exists in our time. Over the last weeks and months, every St. James preacher has listed the same litany of injustice as though we were reading from the same script. Racism, polarization, unequal access to health care and education and jobs, climate injustice. We cannot afford to let this Advent season be a time of passive waiting. Joy Moore, former associate professor of biblical preaching at Luther Seminary, observes that after the suffering, we do the work of God until God comes. End of quote. That, my friends, is precisely the moment we are in today. Even in the midst of ongoing suffering, this is a moment for us to do the work of God until God comes. But what is that work? How do we address the gross injustice in our moment of history? I want to suggest to you that while we are seeking ways to deal with injustice on a large scale, there is a simple step that we can take beginning right now. Think of this as a New Year's resolution, something we will do differently in this new church year. The simple step is described in an opinion piece written by Meghan Markle and published in the New York Times. I want to thank Pam Freeman for passing it on to me. The piece is called The Losses We Share. Markle describes her own need for healing following a miscarriage. But what she says is applicable to all of our losses. The piece is subtitled, Perhaps the Path to Healing Begins with Three Simple Words. Are you okay? In this piece, Markle describes her own moment of revelation. She says, when I was in my late teens, I sat in the back of a taxi, zipping through the busyness and bustle of Manhattan. I looked out the window and saw a woman on her phone in a flood of tears. She was standing on the sidewalk, living out a private moment very publicly. At the time, the city was new to me, and I asked the driver if we should stop to see if the woman needed help. He explained that New Yorkers live out their personal lives in public spaces. We love in the city. We cry in the city. Our emotions and stories there for anybody to see. I remember him telling me, don't worry, someone on that corner will ask her if she's okay. Now, Markle goes on, all these years later in isolation and lockdown, grieving the loss of a child, the loss of my country's shared belief in what's true, I think of that woman in New York. What if no one stopped? What if no one saw her suffering? What if no one helped? Markle says, I wish I could go back and ask my cab driver to pull over. This, I realize, is the danger of siloed living, where moments, sad, scary, and sacrosanct, are all lived out alone. There is no one stopping to ask, are you okay? End of quote. 3 simple words can begin to bridge the chasm between us. 3 simple words signal that someone sees you. Someone recognizes that you are in pain. Someone is standing, in fact, with you. Asking, are you okay, can break down barriers, introduce tenderness, and remind us of our common humanity. What if, beginning today, each of us took just a little more time to look people in the eye, to notice what we see there? And when there is pain or suffering, anxiety or fear, simply to ask, are you okay? And who knows what might happen? Who knows where that question might lead? What transformation and healing could ripple out when that little pebble of concern is dropped into the ocean of hurt and loss? Now, at the beginning of Advent, now in this time of suffering, let us do the work of God, the healing work of God, with the power that only God gives, until God comes again in power.